Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about the race for a seat on Montana's Supreme Court, Glacier County Emergency Services, and the shuttering of two units at the Colstrip Power Plant. It's Tuesday, January 7th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. There's a three-way race underway for a seat on the Montana Supreme Court. Each of the candidates are relying on self-funding to get their 2020 campaigns off the ground. Montana Public Radio's Corin Cates Carney reports.
Justice Lori McKinnon, who lives in Helena, is running for re-election after announcing last year she would not seek a second 8-year term on the state high court. According to the most recent campaign finance reports due this week, McKinnon's campaign funding is lagging behind two challengers starting off election year. A personal loan to the campaign of around $3,200 accounts for nearly all of McKinnon's funds. Helena attorney Michael Black, who was the first to announce entrance into the race last summer, has more than $63,000 in his campaign account to close out the fundraising quarter. More than $40,000 of that is in personal loans to the campaign. Mars Scott, an attorney from Missoula, is bankrolling his campaign kickoff too, with nearly all of his funding coming from more than $7,500 in loans. Montana Supreme Court is made up of seven justices elected in nonpartisan elections or appointed in the case of midterm vacancies. The high court seat currently held by Justice Jim Shea is also on the ballot this year. No one has yet filed for that position. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio News.
Glacier County is no longer transferring patients from the U.S. Indian Health Services Browning facility to other hospitals. The county says IHS owes over $1.8 million for ambulance rides dating back to 2014 and is now suing the federal agency, which says it can't verify the county's claim. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton explains.
Glacier County commissioners canceled the county's contract to transfer patients from the Blackfeet Community Hospital in Browning to other hospitals for additional care last month, saying the agency failed to uphold its end of the deal. At the time, IHS said it had been working for 9 months to substantiate the roughly $1.8 million worth of claims the county says went unpaid between 2014 and 2018. The agency said the county was not providing proper documentation for it to do so. IHS also disputed the amount the county says it's owed. The county now hopes to settle the dispute via a lawsuit in U.S. District Court. The county filed its suit on December 17th, arguing that it can't provide proper documentation to support its claim because IHS didn't produce that paperwork when its doctors requested ambulance transfers. IHS declined to comment on the court case. According to court documents provided by the county, an IHS lawyer told the county's attorney in September that Glacier EMS was responsible for filing paperwork for each transfer to determine whether the patient was eligible for IHS services. The county says the lack of payment has led it to lay off 11 EMS employees and utilize volunteers instead. It's asking the court to order IHS to immediately pay the $1.8 million in question with interest. A request for comment was not returned by the Glacier County attorney in time for this story. No hearings have been scheduled in the case. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
Two of the Colstrip Power Plant's four units ceased operation last week. Kayla DeRoche dropped by Colstrip Saturday and spoke with community members who voiced shock and sadness about the long-planned, but still surprising, shutdowns.
Pastor Casey Kluver says the day Unit 1 shut down, he was building a fence around a patch of reclaimed land where the grass reached up to his waist.
As I was looking at the plant that day and kind of thinking about it, I was thinking about how it used to feel when we would do shutdowns and for maintenance and things like that, and then the urgency we would have to get it fired back up.
Kluver is a former Colstrip steam plant worker and current part-time fencer. He's speaking to a crowd of about 80 people in the Colstrip High School auditorium. They're at an unofficial listening session about the state's largest utility and its 20-year plan to source energy. The comment period comes at a time when two of the power plant units at one of the largest coal-fired plants in the western U.S. shuttered after almost 50 years. It's left the community reeling. Like Kluver, Rusty Beatty with the Westmoreland coal mine recalls the routine maintenance shutdowns of Units 1 and 2. He's among those to hang back after the listening session to mingle and chat with others.
Good to see you.
Good to see you. Thank you.
Yeah. Beatty remembers watching out the window as Unit 1 shut down for the last time, and the plant smokestack stopped producing that billowing white gas permanently.
You always look forward to it coming back up, and it's not going to happen again. So it's kind of a somber experience, and it's a shame. They were running good. They could have gone a lot longer. It was a shame we couldn't make it work. So,
Dwayne Sessions is a fishing guide in Colorado and is visiting his hometown.
To me, it goes beyond just stripping it down to environmental concerns, which, you know, we can debate back and forth over. But the degradation of the community is very disappointing to a lot of us that grew up here and are no longer here anymore even. So, you know, it's a sad weekend.
His dad, Mike Sessions, says he retired from the coal mine more than a decade ago.
Like I say, it's depressing to me to see those plants go down, and I know the whole community is feeling that way right now, but we're pretty resilient, you know, here. They're hardworking people. They've always been. There's a lot of good people working here, so...
Becky Miller calls the shutdowns heartbreaking and hard on the community.
It's like losing a family member. It's, you know, they weren't perfect, but we loved them anyway. They've provided reliable power for 45 years, but more than that, they've given hundreds and thousands of people jobs from construction through everyday jobs. It's a sad day. It's very, very sad.
Around 100 people worked at Units 1 and 2, and plant operator Talon Energy says those same employees may be applied to other shutdown activities at the units or reassigned to Units 3 and 4 as needed. Rancher Audrey Kluver says the worst-case scenario for her would be that everybody leaves because of closures.
And we're left behind with a depreciated town that's not as amazing as it is now, so... Our greatest loss will be the community that Colstrip is.
She says that's why she's fighting to keep the plant open. She says she hopes Units 3 and 4 continue to run and the power plant builds 5 and 6. Coal advocacy group Colstrip United has a strong presence at the meeting, and some people point to politics as the reason for the closures. Washington state-based owners have announced they're pulling out of the plant financially by 2025 due to a new clean energy law that requires utilities to phase out of coal by that year. Meanwhile, Northwestern Energy, which counts some 370,000 Montanans in its customer base, wants to buy an additional 25% share of Unit 4. The company says it expects to have a stake in that unit into the 2040s. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.